Lord is good. Wow. You can open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Such a good spirit here this morning. And I could contribute that to the spirit of the Lord, but he's always here, so I'd have to add that you must have something to do with it. Thank you for bringing your good spirit to the house of the Lord. I mean, that's far better than bringing a bad spirit to the house of the Lord, right? But even if you did bring a bad spirit to the house of the Lord, we still love you. And we know that before you leave, you will have a good spirit. God is a God of transformation. And he transforms the bad to the good. He takes the things that are lost to bring gain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week, some of you were thinking, I hope we could have as much fire and spice in the message as we had last week. I did go back and listen to the message, and it probably wasn't as good as you thought it was. But, of course, I'm my own worst critic when it comes to that. But it was kind of neat to see you guys get so stirred up. And I knew there was hope. Amen. Say, stir me up, Lord. This message, though, is not really a stir-me-up message, but hopefully it'll move the needle a little bit, okay? You know, last week we were talking about giving, and it was such a revelation that what Christ came and gave his life for us, he opened the door for our salvation, for our healing, for our deliverance, for our transformation, and then to understand that that's only part of the equation. The next part is that when we give back to the Lord, we literally give the Father access into our life. And that's what I'd call the gospel of the kingdom. You have a gospel of salvation, and then God transitions us to the gospel of the kingdom. It all begins with God meeting us, and we begin to progress into a revelation of the Father. We begin to understand how we meet him. We meet his need, how we meet his heart, how we become to him everything he's called us to be. Because God's transforming us into an image that's different than the image that we know now. So if you're thinking of yourself one way, be encouraged and begin to think of yourself the way that you're becoming. Because you can get discouraged in the season that you're in very easily if you keep looking at the circumstances. But when you begin to get the vision of who you're becoming in God, you begin encouraged in that because there's a hope that's attached to the word that God speaks. See, when God speaks, he not only gives you a word that's a word that he outlines for you to become, but he supplies with that word the faith that it takes to accomplish it in your life. Amen. And I want to talk to you this morning about this principle again about how the love of God comes to open the doorway for us to become who he's called us to be. See, the Father gave us true love by a true expression. And we understand that love can only be conveyed by an act, an activity of sacrifice. Because when you say you love someone, then you must be willing to allow that love that you express to them to become a sacrifice from you. Because if I love you only in word, but not in deed, then I'm not truly loving you. Right? We do what we do because we're motivated to do it, one way or the other. So motivation of love is a motivation of activity. Faith works by love. But I say faith works by love. So if I have faith, I'll also have love. Turn me down just a little bit, guys. If I have faith, I'll also have love. Because then that enables that which is in me to be created in you. And that's what God intended for it to happen through Christ, when he gave his only begotten son to us, he expressed his love to us. He made a sacrifice on our behalf so we could receive redemption, so we could be saved, so we could be reconciled to the Father. Plus all the other benefits that God gives us through that expression of love. Love is so expansive that the benefit package that comes with it is inexhaustible. Because, see, love has no limitations on its ability to express itself. You say, well, I've just given everything I can give, and I can't give anymore. Well, you just start moving in love and just find out how much you can give. Because love will cause the boundaries that you live in to be stretched. Your ability to perceive to be increased. The seed that you sow to be increased. It's through the expression of love that the kingdom of God is perpetuated. It's not only begun in the hotbed of love, but it continues, and its ongoing future is dependent upon the ongoing expression of love. For me to tell you I love you once doesn't mean much. But for me to tell you I love you next year and the year after and the year after means a lot, doesn't it? I mean, I told my wife back 48 years ago, I love you. But I still, that 48 year ago love expression still has to be expressed today. Because that's what it grows around. It grows around that seed that I plant. It grows around the seed that God planted. What he expressed to us 2,000 years ago is only just now being manifested to us in his fullness. Amen? It's getting greater every day. Everybody say, love gets greater. The longer you walk in this, the greater it becomes to you. The greater the expression of God through you becomes. The more mature your ability to consistently manifest who he is to others. I don't want to hit it one day and miss it the next. I want there to be a consistency in my heart and how I express myself to the Lord and into you. How many know you don't want a flaky preacher? How many don't want a flaky husband, a flaky wife, right? How many pastors want flaky church members? We don't want to be flakes in your kingdom, Lord. We want our yea to be yea and our nay to be nay. We want our love to be so consistent that it has an eternal purpose in everything that we do. If I say I love you, then I'm not going to change my mind about that tomorrow simply because you did something today that didn't please me. If I say I love you today, I'm going to love you tomorrow, even if you don't please me tomorrow. How many know you're not going to please everybody all the time? Right? And when you have to walk in life feeling that you have to please someone in order to keep receiving their approval, it's a pretty discouraging thing. If I have to think that tomorrow, if I do something that might not please you as well as it does today, that you'll break fellowship with me, it discourages me. If I feel like I've always got to be walking in a pleasing mode, then I'm discouraged in my relationship because I know that somewhere down the line I will do something that won't please you. But if I really love you and you really love me, we don't go by the temporal. We look to the eternal that God has promised us to walk in. Amen? See, we walk in the temporal, but we always keep our eyes on the eternal. The temporal is not where our life comes from. The eternal is where everything comes. Everything comes to us from above. Amen. All good gifts come from God, from above. They don't come from the things around us. They come from him. Say, well, look what God has done for me. Because he did this for me and this for me, this for me today. That's not even the issue. Praise the Lord in spite of anything you may receive or don't receive. Because we're not looking for the temporal to make us happy. Your joy comes from where? Your new car, your bank account, your new wardrobe. Those things might make you happy, but the joy you have comes from the Lord. Amen? We'd be altogether joyful in the Lord because that's where everything proceeds from. So love is the act of giving. When you give, you express love. When you sow, you're saying, this is love. See, people say, well, I don't really want to give because it bothers me to give. Well, the problem is not in your giving. The problem is in your heart. Because once God gets your heart, he has everything. You'll hold nothing back from what God wants when he has your heart. He has your whole being when he has your heart. So love becomes expressed when it gives to another. John 3:16, God so loved the world. We covered that last week. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't it great that every time we get together, we want to remind ourselves of that great gift? There's no greater gift given to humanity than the gift of God giving his only begotten son to us for our redemption. And there should always be an attitude of gratitude. We should never get so complicated in our revelation or understanding that we forget the simplicity that's found through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and what he gives us through that death. It's through that death I live. It's through his poverty I become rich. It's through his dissension I can ascend. Amen? This is what everything God gave me. Everything I have is in him. In him I live and move and have my being. There's no other source of supply except him. Wow. And, you know, Romans 5:5 says, I'll get to Ephesians 3 in just a minute. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. You know, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How many here love the Lord this morning? Well, guess what? Everything is working for your good. Amen. It all for your good, Janice. It's good to have Janice back, by the way. We miss Janice. Janice Seney, what a lady. This lady came back from the dead and she rose again. She's out prophesying all over the country, stirring up the devil, putting him in his place, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed a prayer that we're very familiar with because he understood. And he wants to convey to us the necessity of learning to receive God's love. It all begins, your giving life, your expressive life, all begins by your receiving life. Your willingness to open your heart to receive what God has prepared for you. He says, verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. So he's saying you're going to fix to comprehend something, but you only can comprehend this when your faith is rooted and grounded in love. What kind of love? How to receive the love of God. See, when you receive the love of God, you begin to think of yourself differently than you thought, because you'll no longer see yourself as lacking. You'll no longer see yourself as lost. You'll no longer see yourself in a place of need. You'll begin to see yourself in who he is. Because when his love is expressed to you, you're overwhelmed by that. That becomes the anchor of who you are, God's love, God, what God said about you. God says it, I believe it. It's difficult for me to criticize you when I know what God has given to accept you. When you think about criticizing another brother or sister, think about what Christ paid, what price he paid on the cross so that they could receive who he is. Amen. So if God's received you, then what should I do? Receive you as well. So Paul's saying, let this love being rooted and grounded in you, so now you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints this great width and this length and this depth and this height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It becomes one of life's greatest challenges to really receive and accept the revelation of how much God really does love us. His love is greater than any failure that you've ever had. We said something recently. It's not your missteps that mean anything. It's your next step. When you make a misstep in life, all you've got to do to correct it is make the right step towards Him. Christ receiveth sinful man. We've all have sinned and fall short of the glory, right? So when we understand the need, in order to correct the need, we don't have to go and try to fix the problem. We simply step into the solution. That's why there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to live in the pit of condemnation and remorse and fear and anxiety and the sense of lacking in our life, whether it be purpose or deed. We simply step into the love of God. And in the love of God, every solution comes to us. Every need is met in the love of God. That's why that we as a church, we as a people, we become that same vehicle upon the earth. Because it's hard sometimes for people to identify with a God that cannot see. But when we become the love of God, we become those that forgive, those that receive, those that bless, those that heal, those that counsel, console. When we become this expression of Christ with God's love in us, that's the church that God wants on the earth today. A church that expresses the love of God with such intensity, such fervor, such commitment, that it becomes the house of God. A place when people walk in the door, they will sense the overwhelming love that God has for them. It says that whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. So that same love that God puts in us, that we receive from Him, becomes expressed through us the same way it's spoken through Him. Say, well, I'm not the Savior. No, you're not the Savior, but you are a Savior. Because Christ, the Anointed One, Christo, means the Anointed in the Greek. Jesus, the Anointed One. We become also the Anointed Ones. I preached a message on that recently. Go back and listen. I don't have time to tell you the message this morning. We become the Anointed Ones. None of the anointing that we have is from ourselves. But did you realize that what Jesus, the physical man, carried, that none of that he had came from Him? It all came from the Father. Because He stripped Himself of His divinity. He stripped Himself. He emptied Himself of anything that would have given Him privileged class upon the earth. He didn't come as a God to the earth. He came as a man. And that which He carried was that which God gave to Him. The anointing of the Holy Spirit came from the Father upon the man Jesus. Thus He was called the man Christ, the Anointed One. That's the separation that He had. That's the same separation you have, that God puts upon you, the Christo, the anointing that comes from heaven, that rests upon you, that causes you to be the same instrument in the hand of God that Jesus Himself was, to proclaim good news to the poor. Hallelujah. To set at captives those that are bound, to bring joy to those that mourn, to liberate, and to preach the kingdom of God upon the earth. Ooh. Don't throw me in jail for preaching. I'm just telling you the truth. Luke 15, there's three stories of God's love. You might want to turn there. The book of Luke, chapter 15. You have the story of the sheep. You have the story of the coin. And you have the story of the son. And this is the red letter part. And this is why I believe it. Because Jesus said it, right? How many believe that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we believe? Yes. Amen. We believe every word that God speaks. So he gives us three parables. The first parable is about the lost sheep. And he says in verse 4, chapter 15, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Wow. Or that woman, just one of them women, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the floor, and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, let's have a barbecue and rejoice. For I found the place which I lost my coin. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. Then the parable of the lost son, the prodigal. The prodigal means the wasteful son. Here was the story of the son that went to his dad and said, Dad, I want my portion of the inheritance in advance. The father, loving his son, gave him the portion of his inheritance. So he left the father's household, the father's estate, and he went out into a foreign land and he lived a wasteful, prodigal life. So much so that he lost all of the money. And when a great famine came in the land, he began to lament because he began to realize that the servants of his father had more than what he had. So he came to his senses and he began to go back to the father's house. He said, I've sinned against my father and I've sinned against heaven. And on the way there, the father heard him, knew he was coming, and he went out to meet him with such great joy in his heart, such great compassion, that he fell upon the neck of his son and he kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Father would have said, paraphrase it, nonsense. Don't tell me that. You're still my son. Called the servants, hey, put the best robe on my kid. Give him a ring on his hand and put sandals on his feet and reestablish him in who he is. He got so excited and he said, get that fatted calf and we're going to have a barbecue too. Kill it. Let's eat and let's get happy. Get some wine out. We're going to have a party. But my son was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Of course, we know the story of the older son, how he lamented that and got upset, was jealous and all that. He became angry. But the Lord began to speak again to the father. And said, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry, be glad, for your brother was dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. See, when we understand this heart of God, how much he cares about the least of us, how much he cares about everyone in this city, of course, everyone in this world that he loves so much. When we understand the cry that he has, that he's waiting that for this one person to come so that there can be a party in heaven. I like to think of myself when the day that I accepted Jesus in the backyard of my house in Amarillo, Texas in 1970, one, I like to think that when I looked up to the heavens and I said, Lord, I love you, because I felt his love being beamed to me. I like to think that there was a little party taking place. Hallelujah. I like to think about the parties that were taking place when you said, Jesus, I receive you. Because that's how much God loves us, that he throws a party every time any one of us, from the least of us to the greatest, say, Jesus, we need you. We're coming back home. We're coming to your house, Lord. We were that coin that was lost. We were that sheep that went astray. We were that son that lived a prodigal life. But here we come to our Heavenly Father, who always loves us and extends that love to us. And that's the way that we, the church, must be. We must be the church that cries out that for the lost of this world, for the disenfranchised. Years ago, there was a prophecy given that we would become a church that was filled up with the people that no one else wanted. And look at this, it happened. I mean, it follows reason. You got a preacher that no one else wants. And so now you got a people that no one else wants. But that's what the Lord said. He said, I want my house to be filled. So go and call them in to come fill my house. And they all begin to say, well, we haven't got time for that. We've got business to attend to. We've got our own personal affairs. We've got our cattle. We've got all these things we've got to attend to. The Lord became angry. He said, now go out now to the highways and the byways and you compel them to come in. Because I want my house to be filled. Why does God want his house to be filled? Because God wants a big, happy family. Amen? He wants people that are connected to him and to one another. He wants to create a family of sons and daughters. See, I said daughters. Sons and daughters in the house of the Lord. Woo! See, when we learn to give his love to others, we're fulfilling the commandments. It says there's two commandments. First commandment's what? You shall love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Now, how many know that's the first commandment? Raise your hand if you know that. So let me ask you this. Are we doing that? Because if we don't do that, we won't be able to do the next part effectively. Love the Lord God with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. So how do we love God? We worship him. That's one thing, right? We obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do the things I require you to do. So, well, I didn't know that love had a condition. There's no condition other than if you want it to work for you, you must engage it. The whole world knows that God said, I love you, but the whole world isn't being loved by God. On a personal level. Right? What makes it personal? What makes it real to you is when you worship him and obey him, you enact his love working through your life. When you do the things he's required you to do. Well, I don't believe in legalism. It's not legalism. Legalism is when you do something that's repetitive, that has no results. But the true spirit of the Lord comes into you and it puts your heart in the midst of this whole thing. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's why we're seeing in the midst of us, we might not see it in the numbers at this point, but we're seeing in the spirit, and you'd have to be blind not to see it. You come in now in this house and there's a pressing into the Lord, at least by a lot of the people that we haven't seen before. Because people are finally waking up to love the Lord God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. Yeah. We're not here to get, we're here to give. The more you love God, the more you love from God. See, when you're not loving God with everything within you, then your whole focus is on you. When your focus is on you, you can't see anyone else. It's all about your problems, all about your situation, all about your feelings, all about your all the things you're going through. But when you're focused on the Lord, you become evaporated in the midst of that heavenly position. Now is Christ, the Christo in you, that's ministering, always looking out, never looking in. So, well, I got a lot of problems. Well, the only way you get out of problems is to start loving the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. That solves your problem. Period. There's no problems in that spirit. Easier said than done. I know I have to struggle with it every day, just like you do. But I know it's the way, the truth, and it is the life. Hallelujah. See, love is the most liberating force in God's creation. It frees you from self-determination, self-will, confusion. When you love Him, you become like Him in the fact that He's so single-minded. We think God is so complex, but actually God is very simple. He's single-minded. His intention towards humanity is single-minded. I'm going to love them with everything by giving them my Son. So when the Lord said, love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, what do you think He did for you? He loves you the same way. That's how intentionally God loves you. His intent towards you is so intense, it cannot be broken. That's why Jesus was able to say, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. See, if I really love you the way Jesus loves you, then I'll never leave you nor forsake you either. When you come and make a commitment in the house of God, did you know that that's a lifetime commitment? It's not a temporal assignment. When you join yourself to a people, did you know that that's an eternal, that's a permanent position? That might not always mean you'll be in the same location because of God's will doing certain things, but it means forevermore you're one. You don't create oneness on a temporal basis. Oneness is eternal. That makes sense? Is that too hard? So, well, I thought I was serving God on my terms. I thought I was serving God with my limitation. Right? Are we serving God on our terms? God said that I bought you with a price. You're no longer your own, but now you belong to Him. I don't serve God. I can't serve God because I feel like it or I don't feel like it. I don't worship God because I feel like it or I don't feel like it. I don't love you because one day you're acceptable to me and one day I can't stand you. That's not how we serve God. When you put your yay to this love and you say, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength. Lord, I am your servant. I am your person. I'm your man. I'm your woman. That means you take the I out of it and it becomes His thing in you now, not yours. Which takes it into a whole new ball game. Takes you out of all this decision making. You know, when you get your life to the point you've eliminated the decisions, your life is in peace. See, well, you got to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision. Decision's already been made. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be with you always till the end of the earth. See, you just thought you could get rid of me. You're stuck with me. I mean, some people think they can just get rid of God and turn Him off when they don't want Him. It doesn't work that way. He's always there. He will follow you even down to the lowest place and say, hello, I'm still here. Well, I'm just going to take a vacation from God for a while. I'm tired of this stuff. It don't work. You're going to find, you used to think the devil was a tormentor. whom the Father loves, He chastens and scourgeth every son He receives. You think some of that stuff some of you have been going through is the devil? It's just your Father loving you. Now, I'm not discounting the devil doesn't come against us. And if he does, stomp him in the head and say, laugh at him and say, you're the one that's tormenting me. Ha ha. I ain't worried about the devil. I'm more worried about the Father. There's got to be a fear in your heart that you don't come into this with such a cavalier attitude that this is on your terms. When you walked that aisle, when you made that prayer, wherever you were at that moment, whether you were by yourself in a house, you were in a church, you were in an airplane, you were in a closet, you were in a car. When you said, Jesus, come into my life, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. You turned it all over that moment to someone besides yourself. Someone that made covenant with you in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. That covenant is eternal. He doesn't take it lightly. When you were young, you go where you will and you choose what you want to choose. But when you grow old, you're led by another. Wow. See, that's the one thing about getting older. The more older I get, the more I realize I am not in charge. I just thought I was. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. We might get stirred up yet. Woo! You know, Peter was with Christ after the resurrection and they were at a meal. What a scene that would be, right? Think about it. Christ after the resurrection, having lunch, dinner with Christ after the resurrection. You're sitting there. Your eyes are big as saucers. Wow. You know, I saw this man die on a cross just a few days ago. Now look, he's sitting here with me in a resurrected, glorified condition. And all of a sudden, out of the mouth of Jesus came words to Peter that just threw him for a tailspin. Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. After breakfast, in fact, it was after breakfast. It could have been before breakfast and he wouldn't have had indigestion. Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But you know, when you go in and look in the Greek, you see that Jesus spoke the word agape and Peter spoke the word phileo. Jesus said, do you love me with the love of God? Peter said, yes, I love you like a friend. I love you affectionately. I love you. Well, I love you. And Jesus said to him, you know, Peter's probably thinking, you know, I mean, who wants to contradict a risen Christ, right? At the breakfast table, you know what I'm saying? He said, okay, if you do, then feed my lambs. And then he said a second time to him. Peter's probably thinking, okay, I got it. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonah. And Peter's looking around for the tape recorder. You know, did you say that again? Say it again, Lord. You said it again? Yeah. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. By this time, Peter's beginning to think something's wrong. And then out of the mouth of Jesus, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, do you love me? Do you agape me? Peter was grieved because he said the third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, okay, then you need to feed my sheep. I'm trusting you to tend my sheep, lead my sheep, and feed my sheep. What I've given you, these words that I gave you, now I want you to give them. The spirit that I put in you, I I want you to give them now. I want you to speak the words of salvation to them. That same Peter that was battling this breakfast conversation stood up on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, and began to preach the crucified Jesus and salvations. Multitudes begin to be saved. The church began to be birthed into all its glory. To great signs and wonders and power and miracles was being performed through them, just as it was through Christ. The fulfillment, Jesus said, greater works than ye shall you do than I did, began to happen for Peter. And that fulfillment. See, there's no separation in true love. His heart is your heart. His will is your will. His desire becomes your desire. His path becomes your path. His destiny becomes your destiny. Like Ruth and Naomi said, I'll go with you wherever you lead me. Your people or my people? You see, because of what he gave, you're my people. Not mine. I don't own you, but any of you could turn to one another. You're my people. Look around and say, this is my people. This is my house. This is my family. This is where I belong. I will never leave it, nor will I ever forsake it. Now, I'm not making a point for church attendance. You know, God gave me a promise back in 1989. He said, just preach the kingdom. There might come a day they will all leave you, but keep on preaching. I'm going to raise up a mighty army one day in the midst of you. So I'm not worried about the attendance. I'm worried about you personally. I want to love you. I want you to be your friend. I want to walk with you. I want to embrace you. I want to hug you. I want to forgive you, and I want you to forgive me. Hallelujah. I want you to cover me with the feathers of his wings. I want you to envelop around me and be my healing. I want you to be my friend. I don't want a church full of people. I want a people full of him. Amen. Wow. Oof. I gotta quit. See, there's two great commissions in the Bible. There's two ways that God really releases his love to humanity. He said to the disciples when he first called them, what did he say? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How many accept that challenge? That God wants us to be fishers of men. How do you fish? You do it all kinds of ways, don't you? Some of you know fishing. I mean, sometimes you just put bait on one hook and throw it out there. You might sit all day waiting for a bite, a nibble. If you're lucky, you'll catch something. Some people take nets. They cast them out. When Jesus told them to cast the net out, they cast it out. They brought back such a load that they could not contain. Other people set hooks and leave them all night. What'd you call that? Huh? Trot line. How many of you have ever done a trot line? Well, I've run over a few in my life in a boat. Yeah. They don't do propellers much good, you know. But there's a commissioning on our hearts that when we really love the Lord, we will have the heart that says there must be one person out there, one sinner, one lost coin, one person. And we're going to cry out until we see them. We're going to fish for them. And that's why I passed out those cards to you this morning. I know it's kind of maybe hokey or whatever, but I'm just encouraging all of us to begin to take a proactive action of fishing. I know it's difficult to go out and preach for most people to go out and say, walk up to someone and grab them by the collar and shake them. Do you know Jesus? You know, I mean, that's pretty difficult. Some people can do that, and they're bold like that. Most of us aren't that bold. We approach people far more tentatively. In fact, you probably should. You should approach people with carefulness, consideration, and kindness. And you go to them, and maybe just inviting them to a church service or would open the door for you to begin to minister to them or talk to them. And God will, guess what? When you start doing this, stepping out, it's amazing what begins to happen. Because all of a sudden, you'll begin to encounter and see things that you never thought would happen with other people. Most people are just like you. They're looking for someone to love them and care about them. That's the way I want people to love me, right? I want God to love me. If you're lost, all it takes sometimes is just a touch, a handshake, and say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you with his love. I encourage you. You're so, you know, it's not hard for me to tell a good-looking woman you're good-looking, right? But, I mean, if they're not a good-looking woman, if they're an average-looking woman, if they're not a good-looking man, just say, man, you're looking great today. You know what I'm saying? You look wonderful. I mean, and they can not be someone that would ever be in a glamour magazine, but you can just pronounce a blessing upon them, and guess what? Their countenance will change, and the photographer around, he'd be snapping their pictures, and they could go in the glamour magazine, because you create beauty in people by loving them. Somehow I got out of that. Okay. You create beauty in people by loving them. Right? I went to Korea, and you know, Koreans look different than we do. Primarily, you know, with Daniel over here, we know we can look at him. But after being 2 weeks in Korea, the Korean women were the most beautiful women on the planet. Now, I got to get out of this one now. I'm seeing them in the spirit. I'm seeing them in the spirit. I'm not looking at them like that. I'm looking at them in the spirit. And there's something about the spirit of Christ. There's something about the spirit of Christ that makes people shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I'm not quite through yet, but I'm getting closer, I can see. The second commission is go and make disciples of the nations. See, both of these commissions require this. You come out of yourself and you plug into the heart of love, realizing the greatest call of all is to be connected to him and to connect others to that same love. The love, we become the, everybody raise your hand and say, we're the love connection. Amen. You are a connector. You're connecting people to Jesus and then in salvation, then you're connecting them to the Father in discipleship. See, a lot of people get connected to Jesus, but when they get around the Father, they say, I don't want the Father. I just want Jesus. I just wanted my brother. I just want my friend. I don't want the Father. He's too stern. But the Lord says, connect them to the Father. Let's make disciples of them. Let's teach them and train them in the ways of the Lord. Let's teach them how to walk in the statutes of God. Let's teach them how to be obedient in all the things that they do. Go there, therefore, and become fishers of men. And go you, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. We loose it this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. We loose this love connection to become solid and real into our lives. And we thank you, Father, today that there's no separation in true love. Love never requires reciprocation. It only is willing to give. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So let it be written. So let it be done. Can we confirm the word? Can we confirm the word? Can we confirm the word? Okay. They take a hint.
You're good at hints. Lord, we confirm this, that you are love and you have called us. You have called us to connect. So we connect people. We go out this week. We are connectors. We connect people to Jesus for salvation. We connect people to the Father for maturity. We are raising up people to become mature expressions.
Yes.
In Jesus, in the earth.
Amen. Good.
Yes, we just believe that love is a person this morning. And we don't just say that it's something that you do, but it's who we become. And so we look to Jesus this morning and we say, we become like you, Jesus. We don't just do what you do. We can only do it because we become like him. So we choose to become as you are by looking at you.
Amen.
Jesus loves us, this we know.
Yeah, he does. Jesus loves me. He loves you. Well, let's stand up, okay? Wow. Lord, just let this word penetrate our hearts this morning. Lord, let there be a love connection within us with you that we've maybe never seen before in this light. Lord, create such an overwhelming pouring out of your love that will not disappoint us. How you demonstrated this great love towards us. Lord, we received this commission this morning that we become that instrument in your hands that demonstrates your love to the world and to one another. The Bible said that we'll know that we're disciples because we have this love for one another, that we really do love each other, that we cherish this connection you've given us today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The Lord is good, isn't he?